Good morning, everybody. It is Saturday morning. It is July the 22nd. And I am Mike on the mic, and you are listening to WMFO 91.5 FM, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. What's going on, everybody? Hope you're doing okay. I'm here this morning for 2 hours until 11 a.m. as usual. Happy to say that we have our friends Mark and Les Hurwitz here today, and they are downstairs dying to come up, and I'm dying to let them up, but I had to push the little red button first, so I'll go get them shortly. We've got a lot of freeform today. Mark's got some restaurant reviews and a five-song set as well. And Les has got something special that we'll hear starting about 9:30. So stick around for that. All right, let me get this shoe on the road. I have some new noise to start the first set. And this is actually a band that I first heard of at the Newport Folk Festival down in Rhode Island. And I'm going to be there again next weekend. Can't wait to go there and discover some new talent there. This is a band called Deer Tick, and they have a brand new record out. This is an advanced single called Jump Starting. It's new from Deer Tick here at WMFO.
Let's go. up on me. love just won't let me, me, me.
WMFO Medford, 9:23 in the morning. It's Mike on the mic here, and I'm joined by my guests, the Hurwitz brothers. Mark, hello, Mark.
Good morning, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Les, hello, Les.
Hi, more or less. That's correct. Yeah,
that's correct. Glad to see both of you.
Thank you. You
and,
too.
Thank you. And we just heard, are we done being nice to each other now? No, I'm just kidding.
I think so. I hope so.
They should have heard us before we came on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like missing pants and all that.
It's, oh, it's,
yeah, you guys aren't wearing pants. It's so weird.
Well, it's hot out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wearing my jeans and I got my Focal Banger shirt on. Do you ever have Focal Banger before?
No, but I'm hearing, you know, in the next couple of years, because of my age, maybe it'll hit me.
Oh, right, yeah. Focal Banger is the other beer from the Hetty Topper Company.
Can I focal bang on what I just played, and then we can...
Oh, sure, go ahead.
So focal bang on what we just played. You know, that last track by Santana, that's one of those that you would always hear, and you would sing it to yourself, but you weren't really sure what the words were. Yeah. I am just a what?
Well, it's like R.E.M., you know, yeah. You're always singing along and you have no idea what he's talking about.
I am just a mirage.
It's a good song, though.
Yeah, wonderful track from way back when, Santana. And that's just before the Wild Feathers came out. I can't believe it's 4 years ago now. Got It Wrong was that one. Nice power pop from those guys. Love that stuff. Stevie Ray Vaughan from the Soul to Soul CD. Ain't Gonna Give Up on Love. You can't go wrong with Stevie Ray Vaughan.
I saw him twice in concert. I was so fortunate to see him because...
I know it.
You know, he left us way too soon.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
And just before that, T-Rex, 20th Century Boy, and started off, as I said, with a band that I found out about years ago at the Newport Folk Festival, which I'll be going to this next weekend. That was Deer Tick, sounding really, really good. I've always questioned, like, why did they name their band Deer Tick? But they did. That's Deer Tick. Really great song. Jumpstarting was that one.
Yeah, they're a really good band.
They're a really good band.
Yeah, that'll be a good show next weekend, huh? That'll be
really
great.
Will. I mean, Avett Brothers are there.
Yeah.
Wilco is there. I mean, it's just crazy.
The Avett Brothers are coming to Tanglewood, too.
I used to go to Tanglewood all the time. What a great place to see.
So I think,
I think
the Avett Brothers might be coming around August 1st. So it's, yeah, around the same time. So they're in the neighborhood, which will be, that'll be terrific.
Fantastic to see.
Yeah.
Really. Okay, so here's the deal, everybody. We're going to do another short set. Maybe it'll be five. Who knows? See what we feel like. But right after that, it'll be Les. And Les, what you going to be talking about today, briefly?
Well, I'd like to get into more of what I had done at least once, perhaps a couple of times, by way of the word fusion, capital F, and that is the melding, the combining, starting with Gershwin back in 1924, of the two major forms in Western culture and music, and that is pop music and classical music. And I'd like to get into it by centering around a gentleman very few people know about today, and that's one of my themes. Who's out there? What's out there? His name was and is Alec Templeton. And with Mike's permission, I'll get started on it as soon as he allows me to.
Absolutely. And Mark, you're going to do just the same old, you know, stuff?
Yeah, nothing really interesting. Yeah,
some talk about food and...
Yeah, food. Who cares?
Yeah, and maybe some five-song set or
five
something.
Five-song. Actually, I was inspired by Phil Wilcox, who did a great job.
He did a great job last week.
Oh, yeah. I know. If you're listening out there, I can tell you're a DJ.
Yeah, he may be listening.
Yeah. So he DJs, like weddings and...
Yeah. Yeah, and they have live music at Tres Gatos.
Yes, exactly.
Which, of course, is Italian for three cats.
I think I knew that. I took Spanish for like a half year before
Spanish? What?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea. But
all right.
Anyways.
All right. So that's what's coming up, everybody. New noise to start off this next set. The band is Portugal.theman. I don't know why it's Portugal.theman, but it is a great track, I think. This one's called Feel It Still, new at WMFO Medford.
I've been feeling it since 1966. At the over. Feeling. tracks, baby, and draw that blind. Kick off your shoes and sit right down and loosen up that pretty French gown. Let me pour you a good long drink. Ooh, baby, don't you hesitate, 'cause tonight's the night. It's gonna be
WMFO. It is 9:39. No, I'm going to do it again. 9:40, because I can go into the future, and it's changing anyway. What am I talking about?
I don't know.
I'm Mike on the mic here till 11 with Mark Hurwitz. Hello.
Hello.
And Les Hurwitz.
Hello.
What's going on? Oh, what?
Oh, hey, you're not on the mic.
Because you're always on the other mic first and talk and see if that's you.
Am I okay now?
Oh,
there you
boy.
Are.
Still there?
Hi. Hello. Ooh.
Hey, we're good.
All right. So, well, I don't... That's not... Well, that's not,
that's, you know, a stretch.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see. What did we play? Last set started off with a really good track, huh? Portugal, The Man is the band. Feel It Still is the single. That's a new noise for that set. The Stripes following up from their debut legitimate CD called Snapshot back in 2014. What a shame and what a debut. Crazy. Candy Butchers after that from the Play With Your Head CD. That was You Belong to Me Now. Really nice power pop. Love that.
Sure is, yep.
Love that. And Rod Stewart, you know, I remember the first time I heard that. I remember holding the album cover, just watching that. Tonight's a Night. Crazy good.
Do you speak French?
at the end there?
Because I do speak a little French. I know French a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, you want to know what she was saying at the end?
That's up to you. Remember, we're FCC controlled here.
You know what? Let's move on.
All right, let's move on. So moving on to Les. Good morning, Les.
Good
What's going on?
Good morning to you.
No, good morning to you.
Well, if I'm allowed to go on in English, I will. And
yeah, I think you could.
What I'd like to deal with today, as I had mentioned a few minutes ago, is this aspect of a part of the larger picture, and this is fusion, which is really a very, very powerful part of the entire picture. And it enhances both sides, namely pop and classical, when the fusion takes place. By the way, perhaps I should temper this, add a little color, maybe a quick review, because I may have spoken about this before, but just to add color to the reality of the power of fusion and what how it averts the course of history. Go back to 1924. Now, George Gershwin was 26 at the time he wrote and introduced the Rhapsody in Blue. Can you imagine, 26 years old? I've always called him, or as long as I can remember, I've called him the American Mozart. And the reason is that, you know, Mozart in, what, 35 plus years gives us an unmistakable stamp that will last forever, probably. And our American Mozart lasted into his 38th year, an old man, 38 years old, when he died of a brain tumor. When he was 20, he wrote a tune, I think many of you know it. It's called Swanee. He wrote it at age 20, and within 2 years became arguably as powerful a composer in terms of physical reality as anybody alive. You know, can you imagine that? As a matter of fact, Gershwin realized, at age 22, when he had sold 2 million recordings of Swanee. Can you imagine? At age 22. He asked, my gosh, I've got to catch up with my reputation. I know so little about the language that I can put down onto paper. I've got to get some teachers. So he went to Stravinsky. Stravinsky, as powerful a classical composer as it was alive at the time, happened to be in New York. And Gershwin went to him and asked if he could get some lessons in counterpoint and harmony from him. And Stravinsky was sitting at his desk. And, of course, he was about as social as a moray eel, shall we say. Not a very nice person. And without looking up, after a little bit of hesitation, he asked this question: how much do you have in your bank account? And Gershwin asked, sir, what do you mean? And Stravinsky asked again, how much money do you have? And Gershwin had no idea, because the money had been coming in and it was pretty fluid. So he gave him a number. He gave Stravinsky a number. Stravinsky then looked straight up at him and said, it is I who should be taking lessons from you. So that happened. Gershwin then went, he was a little desperate. He went to Maurice Ravel, you know, the Bolero. He wrote the Bolero. Ravel was one of the more famous, and certainly the most famous of the French composers at that time. And Ravel absolutely refused giving lessons to Gershwin by stating the following. He said, it is better to be a first-rate Gershwin than a second-rate Ravel. So Gershwin had an incredible career. And it was cut short. Just imagine if he had lived, say, 58 instead of 38, would there have been a Leonard Bernstein? And the question then begs back to the Austrian Mozart. What if Mozart had lived to 60 instead of 35? Would there have been a Beethoven as we know him today? So, you know, we who deal with history have fun contemplating and speculating. So forget just everything that I just said. But I wanted to give you some tenor to the reality of fusion. Because in 1924, when Rhapsody in Blue was introduced to the world at the Aeolian Hall in New York City, and in the audience were select people, including people like Rachmaninoff and some of the great conductors, they were invited to see something that Paul Whiteman, who was the director of this little jazz group, he called this evening, and it was on the program, an evening in the experiment of music. An experiment in music. Then the Rhapsody in Blue was played, and when Rachmaninoff left, he muttered metaphorically and realistically that he said the world's history in music has changed. He knew that now there would be a melding, sooner or later, in some form or another, of the two pop aspect, of the popular aspect and the classical aspect. Remember, Gershwin was a pop composer, but he was the first to totally realize, here's a guy who dropped out of school at age 15 to work in the publisher's group as a pianist. That was Gershwin. Anyway, yeah, I'm getting way off the mark. But I wanted to give you a base in terms of where this whole thing pretty much began. Now let's go to Cardiff, Wales, this little island. And you may ask, well, what's going on in Wales? In Cardiff, Wales, in, 1910, a fellow by the name of Alec Templeton was born. And like a successor we know about, namely George Shearing, Alec Templeton also born blind. He and Shearing both, as pianists and as musicians, never saw, as you and I see, the instrument they played. Never. Go ahead and try to tell Templeton or Shearing, give a description of the color blue. Go ahead and talk to them about the color blue. And what about blues and music? How is that translated into someone who has never seen the color blue and transliterated into something like a musical expression? Oh, anyway, I'm getting off the mark. Templeton was born in Wales in 1910. He lasted until 1963. I just want to give you a viewpoint chronologically. He was incredibly gifted in music and learned musical Braille at a very early age. Eventually, and he was very well known in Wales, but to be known in Wales is to be known in a neighborhood. So he came to America, and ultimately, he was undeniable. His talent was incredible, and therefore he ended up doing radio shows starting in the 30s. And he became so well known in this country as a very clever cookie. And I mean this, he was as sly as a fox when it comes to the kinds of things he used to do. He was always with a smile on his face, metaphorically. He had fun with that thing called jazz and swing. And everybody loved his style. Now, there is a recording, part of which you're going to hear immediately, to give you an idea what this guy could do. Listen carefully, especially at the beginning, because you're going to hear his voice. And this is a recording made, let's see, this is 2017. This recording is 77 years old. It was made in 1940 as part of a radio program. He introduces his arrangement in the style of Mozart of a cute little tune. And he explains, as you will hear, if you listen carefully at the beginning, his voice is only at the beginning of the recording. He does these lovely Mozartian, incredibly gifted adaptations of Mozart. It sounds like Mozart himself. It would have been Mozart if he had swung jazz. It would have been Mozart, note for note. It's a straight performance of a Mozart involvement. Then he says, Templeton says, now, what if Mozart lived today? He would swing it. And then he goes into the same tune, but he starts to swing it. And you're going to hear this sly little wrinkle of a smile at the corner of each mouth in the music. Now, above all, get this in terms of being Machiavellian. If you were to sing from the very beginning, along with the Mozart, the Marines hymn, no one knew it. But what he did was take the harmony. This is Templeton. He took the harmony from the Marines hymn and cast it into Mozart. So listen to what he called Mozart matriculates. And the word matriculates corresponds with the changeover from classical to jazz. Listen to Alec Templeton, 1940.
I'm going to improvise in the style of Mozart in two different ways. First of all, as Mozart would have written it in his own day. Thank you. Now, if Mozart had been alive today, he might have been under the influence of some of our modern rhythms. So now, Mozart matriculate.
Not to forget what you just heard in terms of the fact that what you heard was a performance by a man who could never see. Terrific pianist. Now, just to give you an idea of how this gravitational pull we call fusion affects giants in jazz. How about Chicago jazz? How about Benny Goodman? Benny Goodman. How many of you know that Benny Goodman was not only the person we know about in terms of clarinet playing, and a terrific jazz musician, and one of the first to integrate, to bring black into his band, bring blacks into his bands. It took a lot of courage to do this, but he began something. Benny Goodman was not only the grand jazz man, but he was also a terrific classical performer. You can get recordings of Mozart, written for clarinet, that Benny Goodman has recordings of. There's a recording by Maurice Ravel called Mirrors, and it deals with the clarinet, and Benny Goodman has a recording of this. Now, to show you the pulling power of this, you just heard Mozart Matriculates, as done by Templeton. About 15 years after the recording, Benny Goodman's band does the same thing. They are involved with and become gravitated to fusion. Why don't you listen right now to Benny Goodman's approach to the same piece? And by the way, this piece was written by Alec Templeton, Mozart Matriculates. The radiational effect of an Alec Templeton reaching out with those wonderful tentacles into the mind of a guy like Benny Goodman. And this goes on and on and on. Hey, it gets us all the way to the Sauter Finnegan Band in the 50s. If none of you know that, Mike will tell you all about Sauter Finnegan, I'm sure. At any rate, let's go on. By the way, we're still talking about Alex Templeton, not only as a performer, but as a composer, as you just heard. Give you an idea of his sense of humor when it comes to composition. He wrote a piece, and by the way, I think there's a recording Benny Goodman made of a composition by Alex Templeton. Get this now. It's called Get Off My Bach. Instead of Get Off My Bag. And I believe it's available. So check it out and see. Get Off My Bach. Now you're going to hear another piece by Templeton, written by Templeton, called Bach Goes to Town. Now this was recorded only a matter of months or just a couple of years ago. It shows that it comes right down to our time, by a pianist whose name is Paul Barton. Listen to Templeton's Bach Goes to Town by pianist Paul Barton.
You